have a headband on because my hair is extremely dirty, because that sums up my week.
My hair is pretty dirty too.
Before we started just now, you go, I'm in a mood.
Are we recording?
I did. Okay, good. Because that's the way this podcast is about to go.
How often do you see me in a mood?
Really? Honestly, I'm not sure that I have. Maybe like once in our whole relationship.
Yeah. I'm just like in a mood.
Tell us about it. What happened?
I don't know. I just think I'm overwhelmed right now. Like, I have, our dear friend Stephanie is like trying to get us to go out and meet for happy hour. And it's like,
you're like, happy hour? Who has time for a fucking happy hour?
And it like makes me angry. And I'm like, she's literally the sweetest person in the world.
Yeah.
And is trying to like bring joy into my life. Why is it upsetting me? And I'm just like, I'm in a mood, you know, I'm in a mood. So
yeah, I was also feeling the same overwhelm that you're feeling. And I was like bitching earlier. I was on set all day, like set life is back. And so I was like, oh my fucking God. Like, I don't know how to be this busy with multiple clients again. And then I like checked myself a little bit and I was like, shut the fuck up. You have a job.
Right.
Like, your clients are working right now. I have nothing to complain about. So
that's the thing is, and you know, I'm preparing for an album release. So it's like, I know that this will pass.
Sure.
So I just have to remind myself. And again, it's like, I'm really lucky. This is actually a really exciting time. I should be leaning into it.
Absolutely.
But I was awake till 3 a.m. last night.
You're just tired.
And up at 7:30 to start working again. So yeah. I'm just tired.
Well, you know what happens when you're tired?
We're going to give great answers.
The words just flow freely.
They just do.
I have to start with something, though. I got a message today, and it's from a man named Norm.
Norm.
Yes. And I posted the other day on my Instagram at Velvet's Edge. Everyone go follow. Just like become a thirst trap. I'm like, hey, by the way, have I mentioned that my Instagram? I'm just kidding. But if you want to go follow, go for it. So anyway, Norm, I posted the other day in my stories, you know, like we had gotten a couple of messages like backed up in our email that we needed to respond to. And so I was like, okay, let's just go ahead and do a Q&A again. Seems like the people like this Q&A, which
let's do it.
I love. I mean, as we say all the time, we are not experts, but we're speaking solely from our experience. We do research some questions that we know nothing about, but we're also just like talking to you like friends. Like, here's what we would do in that situation. But when I asked about what people wanted to know about this time, Norm wrote me right back. Norm said, okay, since you offered, your podcast is not kind to older men and women. I'm in my 40s and single and just going by your wisdom, a lost cause. I think you can still have a life if you are in your 40s and single. Calling us weird is unkind.
Well, I mean, I'm 44 and single, so.
I was so confused when I read this message. I wrote, Norm, who called you weird? And he wrote, I'm like, first of all, now I'm going to call you fucking weird because you just made this up. I don't think I've ever, have I ever? If I have, I'm like, okay, I'll stop. But like, I don't think I've ever because I'm 38. Like, yeah. I think we more talk about dating and how it gets harder when you're older sometimes. Or like, just the situations from an older perspective. I mean, I don't feel like I'm even older, but we reference a lot of different topics and I don't feel like I've ever once said anything of the sort.
In fact, I think we've even talked about how sex gets better.
Right. I'm very confused. So he wrote me back.
Okay.
Norm and I had quite the dialogue and he said, sorry, I meant to say that you can be over 40 and still have a chance at finding a relationship. It's more difficult, but one can hope. I mean, I fucking hope so.
I could be a lost cause then.
I'm like, Norm, we're Norm's on the same team here, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm in a relationship, but I've never been married. I'm not married. I'm not talking about it from that perspective at all. Nor do I think that your life is over at your 40s. In your 40s, maybe when I talked about the pressure of it, is what he's referencing?
Maybe. I mean, look, the truth is like, God, I feel like since I was like nearing my 40s and into my 40s, I kind of feel like I've been living my best life.
Right. You say that all the time as well.
Yeah, where it becomes tricky is when there's a biological clock that's ticking.
And that's
and
the
I
only
think maybe
time
that's
I've ever
said
that. Some
of the stuff that you may have referenced, but I don't think weird has ever been.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always sorry to offend. I'm never actually intending to offend. The only other thing I thought was whenever you try to talk to me about my parents having sex. I mean, and I go, ew, every time.
But it's more about like your parents.
It's about my parents. Right. Love my parents so much. Don't want to think about them having sex. I think last week you even tried to put it into to terms of like, if my mom had like gone to the other side, I'm like, I do not want to know.
I can guarantee you my mom hasn't.
What makes you say that?
Just knowing her. I just don't think, like, even if she had an inclination to try it, I don't think she'd be brave enough to.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get started in the questions because it's 8:10 right now in Nashville and you and I are both ready for bed.
Yes, except for I won't be there, but I am drinking a lovely rosé in the can.
Oh, so gay of you.
Rosé all day.
Rosé all day. Okay, so this question comes from Chastity, and she says, okay, could you share some tips for preparing yourselves down there for sex? That's a huge part of confidence in sex and intimacy that no one really talks about. Thanks a bunch.
Well, based on her name, her mom doesn't want her having sex. Her parents don't. Look, I think it's to each his own. Like, there's such a range of down there.
Sure.
Some people like it just, I mean, I don't know if she's talking about like cleaning it out or like what its appearance should be.
Let's go both.
I mean, I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Chip, I definitely don't think that like anybody. look, there are people that like smells.
Because they say it smells like the person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean,
isn't that what a pheromone is anyway?
But I think pheromones like aren't necessarily meant to be like smelling. Picked up by like just the average nose. You know, I think it's one of those things where it's like. It's one of those carnal attraction things. Oh. but I think that like people should present themselves the way that they want to be presented. If they think that a bush is beautiful, then by all means have a bush.
Well, you can actually go back a few podcasts ago of ours. Or was it, our first question and answer or second question and answer?
I think it was our first one, yeah.
We talked about the bush making a comeback. So if you're into a bush, if you like a full bush.
Bush.
Yeah. you can go for that right now because it's very on trend. I think it's like you said, it's like groom how you want to groom.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to clean my shit up. That's just what I do. And you might like a bush. Right,
yeah. Look, I kind of like the natural vibe. But I do think like...
You would. Be That's clean. Such a... And I just knew you would.
But I think be clean. But that doesn't mean like clean in the terms of hair. Just like hygiene. Be clean.
Let's hope so. Especially in the day of oral sex being such a big thing now. It's like, yeah, get your shit clean. I just brought in. Did you see me go get my soap out of the shower?
Oh, Lord, no.
Okay, well, this is why, though. Okay, so I use this soap. It's Dr. Bronner's 18-in-1 Hemp Peppermint Pure Castile Tangles. Soap. This is a very long name. And it is expensive, but the bottle lasts for so long. This is not...
You can get bars of that, too.
You can also get the bars. I don't like the bars as much. The tingle's not the same. This is also not an ad. I just want to say this is what I've used for years, and it for some reason makes me feel so much more clean downstairs than other soaps. And also, like, I notice if I use other soaps, like soap can get like residue. Stuck. Yeah, like residue. What the fuck is that? Yeah. I don't want that. This does not have any residue, and the tingle makes you feel really clean, and I've had no complaints.
Well, that's good.
I'm just saying. So I'm trying to liven you up right now. I'm like looking at you making sexy faces.
I was trying to think of a
faces.
Joke about somebody who had complained, but I was like, that's just going to fall flat.
I would just edit it out.
I do love it. Like, you've packed your soap for the tingle.
No, I brought it out here for the podcast. But
I thought you were packing
No, I read this trip. Question and I was like, oh, let me go give Chastity some really solid advice.
You can buy, I don't know if you can buy that at Trader Joe's.
Yes, you can.
Okay, yeah. So Trader Joe's sells it.
Yeah, Amazon has it. You can buy a multi-pack. Don't be alarmed by the price because I think it is like $12 to $15 a bottle. But the bottles are huge and they last a really long time.
It's like
time.
A liter.
Yeah. Also, like my boyfriend was like, what? When he saw the price, literally like made so much fun of me. And then he started using it because I brought it to his cabin and like he's hooked now too.
It's a great soap. I think it's also animal cruelty free. There's a lot of reasons to to use it.
Yeah. So anyway, men and women alike, parabens. If you really want to feel clean down there, go for this soap.
And it does. It's like got a peppermint vibe. So you will tingle.
It's a little tingle. I just think it's also like if you know you're going on a date and there's a chance that it happens, just do your best to be ready. If you feel like you need to do a couple Kegels, get shit tight.
I think it goes for men too. Like,
yeah. Well, hygiene is hygiene.
Hygiene is hygiene.
We always want good hygiene. Okay, let's see. This one is a doozy. This one's from Lauren. She said, not sure if you guys already talked about this, but what do y'all think about friendly exes? Immediately, my body's triggered.
I love them.
I know you do. How do we feel if our partner talks to their ex? Should we be concerned? Does it make us look insecure? Where do we draw the line? Loaded.
Ooh, I mean, yeah, it's so case by case. And I feel like I say that all the time, but I am personally like, I like to be friends with my exes. I often feel, unless they turned out to be a fucking terrible person.
Right.
And then that's a little bit on you if you're like, you allowed yourself to date that. But there are people Shots that are fired. Masters of disguise too. There are.
Thank you. Okay.
So, you know, my philosophy is that like if someone was that important to you for at some point in your life, there are good qualities. So sure. It's like, it doesn't mean you have to be best friends right away. But her question is a little bit more about like, putting up with your partner's exes.
Well, it's like if you're in a new relationship and your partner is friendly with their ex, like, I mean, I guess it's like, it sounds like she's saying, where is the line? Like, what does friendly look like? Should we be concerned? Does it make us look insecure? Where do we draw the line?
I think that it is fair to express concern. You know, that's just being communicative.
Sure.
And it is, it's like, And while expressing that kind of concern, you can remind people that you trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a way to sort of like friendly, like it's like a friendly warn, like, look, I'm cool with you doing this. Like, it does make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think it's like you or she maybe asked, where's the line? And so to me, I think concern, I hate that word because then it makes me feel like you go to the place of like, needing to feel not jealous, but that like there's something in there that you don't actually trust. But if you're coming from the place like what you said, and you could have a conversation to be like, hey, can you help me understand this relationship now? Like, what's the deal? Like, just kind of like being walked through why they're still in each other's lives and understanding that relationship. You might be more surprised than you would think that you could get okay with stuff.
Totally.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Like, even me, like I talk about this often, but I have a past of being cheated on really bad in a relationship. So that's a tough subject for me. Like it's like any other women, I've had to work really hard to kind of, Chip is yawning while I talk.
I'm not bored.
Right
I'm
now.
Just tired.
Jesus. But that's anyway, I've had to work really hard at like trust and keeping that in a relationship. But like there's some people who are, you know, like you said, they can just maintain a friendship or like I work with someone I dated, you know,
right.
I mean, not seriously, but like I think there can be certain situations where you're like, hey, that way wasn't the right way for us to have a relationship. But like we're really good at this or like you bring this to my life and your partner could get okay with it.
Right. I mean, look, I think a lot of relationships, the majority of it is a friendship. So it's. If the romantic side of something dies, it doesn't necessarily mean that the friendship needs to. It just
But you
means...
have to know that the romantic side died.
Right.
And there
right.
have to, I that think has there to has be to clear. Be boundaries.
Yeah, I think look, if your partner is like, hey, I'm gonna go out and have dinner with my ex, that might be a line that they're crossing, you know?
Yeah.
But if they're friends with their ex and their ex's new boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it is. That, I mean, might be fine.
It is very situational. I think it's all about you guys having an open and honest communication about it. You understanding where the relationship lies. And also trusting your body. Because I just think you know when it's like something that shouldn't be trusted. Or if they're coming to you and they're like very open and honest. And they're like, hey, where do we need to put these boundaries? Like, I feel like that's safe.
Right.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, I think trusting your gut is the real thing because if you feel like someone is breaking your trust, it's usually
mm-hmm.
happening.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, and if I feel like if your partner is being honest about it, then you probably don't have anything to worry about.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, this one was very interesting to me, and she has to be kept anonymous. But she said, how often is it normal to have sex after you've been dating for like 5 months? Is a 2 week break long, or is that normal?
5 months. It kind of sounds a little long, but I also think too, it's like, depends on how much they were fucking for those 5 months.
I guess that's true. Well, the first thing that came to my mind is like, I've dated a lot of people in the music industry. And so like, sometimes they could just be gone for 2 weeks.
Right.
And that was where my head immediately went. I was like, I guess that's not, I mean, cause that would be normal. If you're together every day for 2 weeks, that feels a little strange to me.
Yeah.
Especially that early on.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I would hope to have sex at least once a week, even in a long-term relationship.
Yeah. But it takes two people to tango, too. So it's like, don't, you know, if you're wanting to have sex, you should try to initiate it. Because someone could be getting a signal from you that they think you're not interested. So you got to put it out there.
For sure. Initiate.
If there's 2 weeks go by and you're trying to have sex and someone's not having sex with
something's up. Yeah, but I do think girls kind of cop out sometimes on the initiating. And so that is an important thing to say is like, hey, it's not just on him. Like,
right.
If you want to have sex or you're feeling it or you're like, hey, why haven't we had sex in 2 weeks? Jump his bones.
Yeah. Or like, walk in wearing something like scant, you know, like be sexy, like send the message.
Right. Hey, I'm open. Open sign is on.
You like dress like a slutty maid. You're like, hey, I'm just going to clean the house today. Like what?
Naked. Okay. This comes from Jessica. She said, in my past relationship, I learned to really enjoy a little 50 Shades action.
Ooh.
I don't need to be whipped, but I like a little choking. Oh, like a little choking is hot. My fiance is not into any of that. He says he doesn't like being so aggressive. Makes him feel like he's abusing me. How can I help him to see that it's all about the trust? For me, it's so freeing to be a little extra dirty. Like, I'm a mom of five. I have to hold the world together all day. Let me be a little extra behind closed doors. Excuse us, Chip. Can you turn your ringer off? Really ruined the mood.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Look,
Do you like choking, Chip?
You know, a lot of that like kinky stuff, like,
not for you.
It's not that I don't like it. It makes me feel weird. Like it, because it feels like there's something like you're acting, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But I do think, like, if it's something that you really like, you need to push them to try it.
Yeah.
And remind them, like, that they're doing it for you. Like, because sex is give and take. Like, it's not all about, like, well, I don't like that. Because I'm sure there's plenty of women that, like, don't like to give blowjobs, but they do it because their husbands.
I love that that's always your go-to. Literally, anytime you could think of something a woman doesn't want to do, it's a blowjob.
How many women do you know love sucking dick? Besides you.
We do this.
She raised her hand.
I mean, we do this conversation every fucking time.
But you know, I think people in sex, it's like sometimes you have to do what pleases your partner.
I agree with
that.
It's
not just about being pleasured or the assumption that like just wham bam is like fun for both people. It's like giving yourself to somebody is like a gift, and sometimes it means like doing the things that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
It should be, you know, within the realm of, you know, safe boundaries. But I think that, like, she needs to keep getting him to do stuff because ultimately he's going to find that she enjoys it. And
it's
going to turn him on.
And he'll probably ease into it a little more. I think that you're right about the boundaries, because it's like you want to be open to what your partner wants, but at the same time you don't, like what you said, how you feel stupid and you're like acting. It's like, it's so hard to stay in your body sometimes when someone's like, ooh, do this.
Choke me. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck? But
I get the choking thing, especially what she's saying is she's like, I literally am holding the fucking world together all day, every day. I want to like let your walls down and like probably be a little manhandled. Like, I know that sounds weird, but like, to some people it might. Like, it doesn't at all to me. Like, it just makes sense. It's like, if you're running shit all day, you want somebody to come in and be like,
spank that bottom.
Or choke me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be like, choke me out so I'm passed out.
Remember that thing when you used to, did you ever do that thing when you were a kid where you would like crouch down and breathe really fast and then stand up and have like hold your neck and faint?
No. Like, I imagine, I'm dying because I'm imagining you.
We used to make our friends faint all the time.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
What if
your I was into choking in like middle school, I guess.
I hope the next person that you have sex with is like, ooh, make me faint.
Choke me.
Make me faint. So yeah, it's about boundaries, but I do hope that her partner opens up a little bit, because if she's asking for it, that's not abusive.
No.
Maybe it's just like ease in, you know, don't fully go all the way. Just a half choke. That's our recommendation. Tell your fiance, just half choke.
But I also think, too, it's like, maybe you do need to sort of like laugh through it and like have fun with it for a minute. Like, and
yeah,
and let your partner like ease into it. So, because it might just be like a weird, uncomfortable thing, too.
Like, yeah. Or like, there, I think guys, a lot of times with anything aggressive with women, like certain guys can, or like, no, you know, like, because they don't want to be that guy.
Right. Next thing you know, you're going to work with like choke marks on your neck and your husband's like getting the evil eye from all your friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if we ever go back to work.
He's rolling his eyes. Okay, this is actually something we referenced in last week's podcast, so I wanted to give you guys a heads up about that. But how do you feel about being with a man who has experimented with other men? This, we talked about this last week.
So down.
Well, of course you are. I mean, you're like, oh, I'm into it.
You know what? That's it actually poses a really sort of like interesting side question. Like, for gay people, how, yeah, like, should I be concerned about dating a man that's had sex with women?
I don't know. Tell us.
Oh, I'm not.
How do you feel?
No, I'm not.
Actually, no, but I'm not
like,
at
it's
all.
It's just sort of the inverse of that question, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I think it shines a light on, like, how it should, why it shouldn't really matter, you know?
I agree with that. I think we're so programmed to think sex should look a certain way. And so we
and
have been for so
wrong.
Long. And that gay is wrong. And so for someone who's trying to be in a heterosexual relationship, they're like, oh my God, you know? But it is that question, like, because you had sex with girls before.
Yes.
And so, of course, you don't think anything of it, really, because you're like, yeah, but I know what that was like. And, like, in my head, you're like, I physically could enjoy it, but I wasn't connected, and it wasn't, like, I wasn't attracted. So it's not threatening to you at all.
I'm not, like, a gold star gay that's, like, never even seen a vagina. Yeah.
Right. But, like, if I was dating a guy who was like, yeah, I sometimes used to hook up with guys, I'd be like, why? Or like, what were you attracted? Or, you know, I'd have a lot of follow-up questions.
Yeah. We talked about Love on the Spectrum for a second.
Yes.
In the last,
TV show.
I actually watched part of it. I haven't gotten through it yet.
Okay.
But there's a scene where one of the guys says, you know, I thought maybe I was gay, so I watched gay porn.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out I'm not. But, like, it's one of those things, too. I think that, like, I think life can be really confusing, and we have emotions and feelings that we don't really know where they're coming from or what they mean. And I think sometimes, like, people just experiment to figure out what it is that they actually like. And that might mean that you do something that isn't really where, you know, your center is.
Sure.
And you're like, yeah, that wasn't for me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But you're woke enough to not think that gay is gross.
Right.
You know, that like, so if someone thinks that it's like just a normal thing and they're like, well, maybe I am gay. You know, I think I don't think anyone should have a problem with it as long as they feel like when they are with somebody, it's a genuine thing that's happening.
Yeah, they want to be there.
Right.
They're attracted.
Yeah.
The chemistry's there.
Right.
It's a tough one, though.
Yeah,
I will tell you, it would give me pause, and I hate to admit that, but it would.
Yeah, unless the dick is good.
I'd be like, who sucks better, him or me? No, I'm just kidding. I really hope my mom stopped listening. Okay.
And who was that posted this week? Like, oh, God, be sure to, like, your mom's not around when you're listening.
Oh my God. We had a listener post that she, no, I thought it was a kid. Was it her mom?
I think it was her mom.
She had us on and she said she like walked out of the room for a second and came back in and her mom had walked in the room and we had just gone into a heavy discussion about blowjobs. I'm pretty sure it was the tried anal episode. Oh. And she said, she was like, I've never blushed so hard. Make sure to put headphones on when you're listening. I don't even know how our podcast turned into this, really.
I don't either.
But we're doing it because you guys keep loving it. And I actually still do enjoy talking about it. I'm just like, where's the line? What am I going to admit and what am I not going to admit?
I want you to admit it all.
I edited some stuff out of last week. I had a panic. And then I listened and I was like, God, it was so much better before I edited it. Right? I just got to put it out there sometimes.
It's just our lives, you know?
Be who you are.
Be you.
You do you. Okay, this is like a very common thing. It comes from Mackenzie. And she says, how do you maintain a good love life, sex life, when you're going through stressful, draining life events that leave you physically, mentally, and spiritually exhausted? Thanks for the insight. I mean, everybody fucking deals with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, the idea of like right now in my life, if I were in a relationship having to please somebody else, like that would really stress me out.
Yeah.
I think that... it's important to remember that like life ebbs and flows.
I think so too. You're right.
But I also think sometimes like having the bottom knocked out of you, like can distract you from like all the bullshit that we're dealing with in our daily lives. And like, it lets you kind of just be human for a moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sex is an actual human need.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be a release. I think also like, it depends on where you are with your partner. But like for me, especially if like we're both running around, like we're just not having a lot of time together, it could be a really special night if we take an hour, you know what I mean? Or like I take a bath, or we do things that are like peaceful together. And then it's like more of a connecting thing. And then you want to have sex. Like if you're literally just like running around and not giving each other any attention or any time, why would you, like, unless you're saying like what you're saying about like, you just want to like fuck, basically. Right. You don't want to do it.
Yeah. But I also think too, it's like when you're letting life sort of dictate that, you are becoming more and more disconnected with your partner. So it can be a very intentional way to reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
That said, it should never feel like you're just doing it as a chore.
Right.
You know, if like you're not in the mood, like, but it does don't be in the mood for a moment. It does take effort. Like, it does take effort.
I just think you can't fully get lazy, or else sometimes your relationship is going to really suffer.
Totally.
Depends on how long term it is.
Right.
But like life, especially if you have kids, is just pretty like busy all the time. Mm-hmm. Stressful all the time. And then you just throw on a pandemic, you know? Yeah. It's like the icing on the top of the cake. It was candle on the top of the cake on the cupcake.
It's one of those fucking candles that doesn't blow out.
It never fucking blows out. Yeah. You just keep blowing and blowing and blowing, blowing and it just doesn't blow out. I had one of those for my birthday this year and I was like, oh, that's fitting.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah. Ha ha.
Good one.
Yeah. Eye roll. Okay, this one's a little heavy, but I feel like only heavy because it's like a little bit of a taboo topic for people to talk about, so I definitely feel like we should talk about it. But it says, how do you date people with HSV1, HSV2? So herpes, basically. I would love to know how this works for others. I was diagnosed almost 2 years ago from a partner. I have not had sexual intercourse since I have found out about HSV2. I just feel dirty. I don't want to have to explain myself to others, or I just feel the rejection. Ugh. I told a male friend about me having it and he said it's no big deal, that there's just ways to look around, but I just see it as disgusting. I think she means work around it, but I just see it as disgusting and rejection because, you know, you need to tell others before having sex. Help. I would also like you to not, she wants to be anonymous.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think it's just important to be honest. Like I actually did a little bit of research on this because I'm certainly not a sexpert, nor am I a medical expert.
Sure.
It is incredibly common. There's two types of herpes. There's HSV 1 and 2. One is oral, one is genital. and you can actually even have one in your genitals, but two is more likely to cause a flare up or an infection. So they are both extremely contagious. I forget the percentage of people that have one is like around the world. It was like 67% of people
in the world
between the, under the age of 50.
I say wow like that because it is such a thing that no one talks about.
13% of the people between 15 and 29 have HSV2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's almost a half a billion people. So it's fairly common.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it is extremely transmissible, and I mean, contagious isn't the word, transmissible, even if you're not showing signs, you're asymptomatic. But obviously I think the more you can do to protect yourself and your partner, the better.
Sure.
And just be honest. You might even find that people have it.
True.
By being honest with somebody, mm-hmm. I would recommend, I mean, it's a weird thing to put in dating profiles, but people that have HIV, like, they put that they're positive in dating profiles. I mean, in fact, I think it's, there's legal consequences to that because HIV is a death sentence, but by not being honest, there are mm-hmm. legal consequences. But I don't think it's just, you know, I don't know this person's name and we shouldn't share it anyway, but I don't think it's any reason to feel disgusting. I don't think you're alone in this. I think there's a lot of people that have it. I do think it's just really important to be safe because it can cause other issues with some other sexually transmitted diseases. So I think it's important to make sure that your partners are safe, but don't feel disgusting. Like, this is not an uncommon thing.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about. Cause I think this, I mean, I think any sort of STD is like, no one wants that. So of course you beat yourself up. You're like doing all the things, but like the bigger thing here is to know that you're lovable regardless of anything in our lives. Like you as you are just lovable. And so like, I think we can say those kind of messages to ourselves. And really the thing to work on is us loving ourselves and knowing that like rejection from another person, like if a person rejected you for that reason, I mean, that's their right, but that doesn't make you not lovable and and disgusting. You know, that was what I read in that message a lot. And like, I hate that someone would feel that way. And 2 years is a long time to go without even, you know, considering it because of that. So I would just, my thought would be to work on the internal stuff first in you so that when you do put yourself back out there, if someone decides that's not for them, you don't take it personal and it's just, okay, on to the next.
That's great advice.
Okay, so to finish up for this week, I wanted to give a little note from last week. Why does porn come up now every week? I just started reading and I was like, wait, okay, this is actually, there was a question we got about porn that I actually feel like needs an expert advice. And so we are going to try to get one of the local Nashville sex therapists on to interview them about this question, because I feel like it's a much bigger topic than Chip and I could dive into. And I actually don't know the answer. Like, I don't, it's about what is healthy with porn and does everyone watch it and, you know, all of those things. And so we're going to get some full answers for that. But this comes from someone from last week, Danielle, and she said, listen to the podcast, loved it. What I didn't add out of embarrassment, so I'm glad other women brought it up, is porn. I'm with you on the fakeness part 100%. If I'm watching male or female porn, I tend to go for amateur because it seems more authentic. Lesbian porn is okay, but frankly, gay porn is my thing. I don't think it has to do with being gay specifically. Maybe because I find the men tend to be more vocal and communicative than in any other types of porn. I think it also helps that you can physically see when both men are aroused and therefore feels less staged. I can't wait to hear the next talk about this. I've felt shame in this and felt like it's a weird kink and I've never told anyone. You know, saving lives here on Ad Casual, Chip. One gay porn at a time. I just think I actually am happy that you guys are feeling this like no shame thing. And we're not out here being like, go do whatever the fuck you want. Like, still be good people. But
do whatever the fuck you want.
Look,
as long as you're not crossing the line.
In respect to your relationships.
Yeah. And I think that it's so important to remember that, like, what makes you unique is what's actually special about you.
Totally.
So you embrace your weirdness, embrace, like, your kinks, embrace, like, the freaky side. It doesn't mean you have to, like, wear it on your sleeve so everyone knows. Like,
right.
Part of what makes it kinky and fun is...
You don't have to put it on a podcast.
Yeah, you don't have to, like, talk to it about it with your parents either. But that's kind of what makes something sexy, too, is that it's secret, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's something really arousing about that. But lean into it.
Like, I think, like, the thing that I would take out of that is the way the two things you described were communicative and more assertive. And so it's like, okay, are you actually even attracted to what's happening with the guys, or are you just, like, enjoying that? And maybe that's something you can take and go, okay, I want to be more communicative. Why is that word so hard to say? I want to be more assertive because that really turns me on. Like, if you actually ask yourself what it is you're drawn to,
right,
maybe you'll get some answers instead of going, oh my God, why do I like this or whatever? And then you can bring it into your own actual sex life.
Yeah.
You know?
Good points.
Thank you. I'm really just becoming the sex
therapist. Maybe you are
going to
get a degree.
Oh my God.
Do you think they have online school for sex therapy?
Online, I don't know. Does it really seem like something? Although everything's online these
everything's
days,
online.
This is what we should do with our COVID. If we were actually still in quarantine and not, like, both just so exhausted right now, this would be what we should do.
Oh my God.
Become sexperts for
sex
real.
Birds.
I'm just going to go have sex and report back with you guys.
There you go. I won't, and we'll act like I know.
I told you, you really got to get to this.
I'm
pulling a heavy load here. Okay, well, that's all for this week. You guys keep the questions coming. You can email us at casual@velvetsedge.com or slide into my DMs at Velvet's Edge. Chip is at Chip Dorsch. Spell that for us.
CHIPDORSCH.
You even said that sexual. I could not
well, I
not
have to because
smile.
I sound like I say F, so I have to, like, say S
okay.
Really slow.
That's us on Instagram. Go follow us. Keep the messages coming. We love to talk to you guys and communicate. Oh, we've got to get on Cameo.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Been the new, I did get some messages about it. So we're thinking about answering sex questions or things like that.
Or saying embarrassing things to your friends.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we can say, like, dirty things to people's parents.
Oh, my God.
Let us break news to your parents. Like, we'll help you come out to them.
Oh, my God.
We'll break up with your boyfriends and girlfriends.
You can
do that. We'll share bad news.
Oh, my God. I'm going to start crying. I'm, like, way too emo for that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
He'll be upset, and I'll be like, I know. I'm so sorry.
If you need to chat, here's my number.
I'm like, do you want me to try to make it work for you guys? I don't, like, like, all of a sudden try to solve all these broken relationships. It's so what I would do. Anyway, messages with your ideas on our Instagrams or the @casual@velvetsedge.com, and we're going to get on Cameo as soon as we find a window to do that. All right. In the meantime, thank you guys for listening. And always remember,
act casual.
Bye.